Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report. Vatican City. Pope Francis has condemned the assassination of Ecuadorian presidential candidate Fernando Villavicencio and called for an end to political violence in the South American country. I welcome my colleagues, Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. We have reported for some time Ecuador tumbling into anarchy. The violence is chiefly driven by narco-terrorism gangs and other bad actors. However, over these last weeks, that violence has been visiting on political characters, political figures. I note that we reported on the assassination of a mayor of a port city by unknown shooter. Who's paying the shooter? There's no money in killing a leader, but there is if you're paid to do it. Now we have a presidential candidate who was, at the time of his death, well-positioned to do well in the first round of the vote, which comes up momentarily in Ecuador. Joseph, a very good evening to you. As I understand it, Fernando Villavicencio was an activist and a journalist before he became a politician. When you heard the news, you've been traveling in South America. What were your first thoughts, Joseph? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. First, I was very saddened, also a bit angry. I know Fernando very well. I've met with him many times and spoken with him many times. He worked on many of the same issues that I work on. He was probably the most ardent opposition to Rafael Correa, but also he had exposed Rafael Correa's corruption, not just domestically, but internationally. Ties corrupt oil deals with China. That was the purpose of a book he wrote. He also talked a lot about the Venezuelan corruption inside the country. He was, when he was a congressman, he was the one that launched the investigation on Alex Saab and the corruption that Alex Saab brought in from Colombia and Venezuela into Ecuador. So we overlapped a lot on the things that we were looking at. We discussed these on numerous occasions. And he wasn't a politician per se, right? He was a guy that was pretty much trying to battle the mafias and the corruption inside his country, and obviously now to his detriment, and that led to his death. But there's three things, John, I think I want to highlight about the assassination of Fernando Villavicencio. The first is this is a horrible precedent. This is Latin America going back to a very dark period in its history where political assassinations were becoming a normal thing. Many people have it here. I'm here in Colombia right now, and many people have equated it to the Galvan assassination back in, I think it was in the 80s. But this is like that, but it's actually even worse because of the geopolitical ramifications of these type of assassinations. So the second point I want to make, John, is the high level of insecurity in Ecuador. I was in Ecuador, as you know, I was in Quito not too long ago, about a month ago. And the big story coming out of Quito is not just the high level of insecurity. There's pretty much all kinds of transnational criminal groups operating there, everything from the Mexican cartels to the Albanian mafia. But it's actually the levels of corruption within the police. And I want to point to that a little bit, John, because there, to me, that is the real lesson, or you want to take away from the assassination of Vicencio, was the failure of the security forces in Ecuador to provide him protection. He had both a combination of private and public security. And just by watching the video, you can see that they did not have a 360 perimeter around him. They only had it on the flanks. They didn't have the armored cars in the positions that they were supposed to be in. He actually got into a vehicle that was unarmored, which is the reason why the bullets penetrated the car and got into his person. And then third, you just really don't know who to trust in Ecuador. And I've heard this, you know, I can't say who, but I've heard this from high-ranking security officials inside the country who have told me, Joseph, we don't know who to trust within our own security forces. That is a very serious situation. And I think it's something that's very systematic that actually Rafael Correa has figured out a way to corrupt the security forces inside the country. We could talk about more about that later. But I think those are the three big takeaways from the assassination of Fernando Vicencio. And let me just say that I'm also very saddened for his family and friends, many of which I know, and I mourn their loss because I do know them personally.
Correa. Who is Correa, and why is he so powerful after his presidency, Joseph?
So Rafael Correa, more than just being a former president or a political figure in Ecuador, he's actually a weapon of warfare. He's tied to Nicolas Maduro, Evo Morales in Bolivia, Ortega in Nicaragua. He's part of that same cabal of corrupt criminal political leaders that are basically used as weapons by China, Russia, and Iran to just transform Latin America into criminalized states. And when I say that earlier, John, he systematically did this, I'll describe that real quick. You know, there was a big incident in 2010. This is probably the biggest incident during Rafael Correa's presidency when he confronted the police. This is called like the 30 September because it happened on 30 September 2010. And he actually confronted the police, had this big confrontation, and then used that confrontation afterwards to change the police law, the national law on police forces. And what he did was he both lowered the criteria to admit new police officers into the forces and also widen the selection based on worries of human rights and other things that are legitimate, but then was able to use that to be able to create a lower standard for what it takes to be a growing police officer. It took a little while to get that through and to get that implemented. He didn't really operationalize it till he left office. In my opinion, he used it as an ace in the sleeve because once he left office, he had all his people in place in the human rights and administrative offices of the security forces, including the police. And then this is the big takeaway, you know, throughout the period of Lenny Moreno and Guillermo Lasso, about, you know, a period of about 6-7 years, there's been 7,000 new police officers. 25% of them have criminal records. They have criminal past because of the lowering of standards of what it takes to be a police officer in Ecuador, something that Rafael Correa started after the police incident in 2010. Now what you have is you have a corruptible police force where a quarter of them basically have ties to criminal organizations. That's how you get into the situation that leads to the assassination of Fernando Villavicencio.
Ernesto, a very good evening to you. What were your first thoughts?
Found this on the web for basically
I'm sorry. That was a...
Yes, fine. 5, 4, 3. Ernesto, greetings. What were your first thoughts when you heard of the assassination of a presidential candidate? Your country has gone through violence, political violence recently. Is this a story that is dominating the news in Brazil and throughout South America, or is this seen as an outlier? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. No, unfortunately, it's not an outlier. It's not seen as such in Brazil. First came that came to mind, my mind and many Brazilians, was the assassination attempt that Jair Bolsonaro suffered in 2018 during the campaign for the presidency. He was 2 minutes from dying. I mean, if it had not been succored in time. So we almost underwent the same experience. Second, I think this is more than an Ecuadorian issue. It's of course, it's a Latin American issue because it's an intimidation operation. I think whoever paid those people to kill Villavicencio, they want to show what happens with someone who confronts the system, who confronts the system from the outside and not as a fake opponent like we have in many political currents. So maybe this was, I don't know, the main purpose, right? This sort of demonstration effect for politicians in the region.
Making politics...
Another issue...
Making politics a very dangerous business.
Yeah.
The business you're in, Ernesto.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, my family is worried in Brazil whenever I criticize the Lula's government and the power system in Brazil. I'm not afraid for myself, but I'm afraid for my family, of course. And that's the case of many, many people in Brazil right now. So that's the message. Okay, don't mess with the system. Another issue very interesting is that I was reading Villavicencio's book, which is great. It's exactly called like... Joseph said, Ecuador made in China. And it's about Chinese influence in Ecuador and how China is an ingredient in the corrupt power system in Ecuador. And it's very similar. It's like parallel lives with what we had in Brazil. But also it's a very rich book in terms of theory and concepts. And For example, Villavicencio talks a lot about the inversion of ethics that is happening in the region. It's a 2012 book, and it's much worse now. When you have a power system that controls the narrative and controls judicial systems and controls the press, etc., and they whatever is the good, they call the bad, and whatever is the bad, they call the good. And people start to accept that. So when you have power that can get into your brain, into your soul, and change the perception of good and bad, that's really much worse than any current totalitarian project. Another aspect is I recall very well when I was a minister, and I took part in a pro-Sul meeting of presidents, because President Bolsonaro couldn't go at that moment. And then President Lenin Moreno of Ecuador, that was during the pandemic, and the meeting was about cooperation for the pandemic. But he said, well, much worse than the COVID pandemic in our region, and the main problem is the corruption pandemic. And that's what we have to fight. And that coming from Moreno, from in Ecuador. So it's clearly someone who was seeing what was ahead for whoever, like him, was came from the system and was starting to fight against it. So and last, well, we discussed last week the Amazon summit. It was underway. I think it was finishing when the assassination took place of Villavicencio. And the same moment that we have that sort of violence and that sort of message from the powerful people in the region about what happens with someone who confronts them, we have Lula convening all those leaders in Brazil in order to do what I call the greenwashing, right? So you have corruption, terrorism, organized crime rampant with political support from those governments, but they to the world, they are seen as the leaders of the environment, leaders of the Amazon. So they're greenwashing this reality of political violence and corruption.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Vumar, who's traveling, of the executive director of the Secure Free Society. We're going to Argentina because there's surprising news in the primary round of the voting that will become much more significant in October for the general election of president of a country that's much beleaguered with debt. I'm John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.